Insight on Business, the News Hour, is made possible through the support of the HR professionals at Oasis, a paychecks company. Learn how to grow your small business or nonprofit by outsourcing your HR and payroll functions. OasisAHR.com.
Welcome back to Insight on Business, the News Hour. We are doing another business interview today, and on our business newsmaker line is Ro Crosby. Ro is the president and chief executive officer and founder of something called Tarot International, and for true transparency, Tarot International has been a long-time sponsor of the Business News Hour. Ro, welcome. Good to have you aboard.
It's always a pleasure to be with you, Michael.
You know, these are difficult times, and your business really does focus on assisting people in skills training and leadership training and management and sales and all of those things that has really stopped in so many areas. How has that impacted Tarot International?
Yes, it's our entire business model is based on bringing groups of more than 10 people together. So I would say from a business revenue standpoint, we've seen 98% of our revenue drop off. But I don't want to make it sound like we're suffering as much as some people. We haven't had to slap a lock on our door. And most of our business is going to reschedule later, except for some of the keynotes at very large events that were just canceled.
Yes.
We are seeing businesses go through all kinds of different experiences. Some are busier in hiring. Some are putting their life on the line. My goodness, take a look at these healthcare facilities, the nursing homes, even our grocery stores and service stations. And many, many businesses are slapping a lock on the door, and they are never going to get that revenue back.
Right.
So it is an interesting time for businesses, and professional development is still critical, but we cannot deliver it.
Right. Well, not in the traditional sense that you've been doing for so long. And I know that you have been repurposing people within your corporation to do other things and to keep them busy. So, and also, how do you see, Ro Crosby, how do you see coming out of this? I mean, because I think that is so much of a focus now, because if business people do not stay engaged, if they can possibly stay engaged, they will lose market share on the other side. So how do you think Tarot International is going to rebuild and grow? What do you think the tea leaves look like?
Well, you know, we've certainly all got our aspirations and wish we had a crystal ball. I don't actually know all the answers to that. What I do know is that these kind of tests for our business and for our character as individuals are really important.
Yes.
And we can choose our response. We can choose our behaviors. I believe that the team at Tarot is choosing to position this company to be even stronger when we come out of this. We are reinventing aspects of our business. We're challenging people to think differently, and we're going to come out with some even more innovative products that ultimately are going to serve our clients better than even the great service they've come to expect up until now from Tarot.
Well, one of the other interesting things, I think, and I know we've done this in our business as well. I was on the telephone yesterday. We did a extensive interview with Jeff Stein, who is the news director and a program director for KXEL Radio out in the eastern part of Iowa. He's celebrating, by the way, 40 years in the radio business here in Iowa. Yeah, that's a long time. Anyway,
it is.
But we were talking about how some businesses out there are taking this time away from what they usually do to come up with new strategies and new ways of service to their clients or customers that they hadn't had time to really focus on before. Is that somewhat accurate from what you've been hearing from your clients?
Yes, it's accurate for what we've been hearing from our clients and also what we're experiencing at Tarot. Most of us have closets, right? When you're stuck at home, you eventually get around to cleaning out the closet. I think we've got the equivalent of that going on in a lot of our businesses. Those things that we've stashed away that we need to take a new look at and either get rid of or repurpose or do something different that can help us invent our way to a little bit cleaner future. So we're cleaning our closets at Taro, and we're seeing a lot of our clients do that as well.
Yeah, it all makes sense. Roe Crosby, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest. We're talking with her about her company called Taro International. Roe, I want to flip gears here for just a moment, and because I had seen a couple of really interesting LinkedIn videos that you've done at Taro, and you were talking about employees and keeping employees motivated. I mean, that's if you can still hold on to the people that work for you, it's important. And especially if you're in a essential business of some kind, that you keep people motivated and on course. And during that research that you were doing, it looks as though you found a parallel in another area of life. Would that be accurate?
That is very well said. Yes, I ended up reflecting on the experience I had through the loss of my husband a few years ago. And the process of grief and loss. And it didn't take very long to connect the dots because there's a lot of experts in mental health who are also pointing to the research on grief and loss and making those connections for people that are going through this pandemic and what it feels like to them and what they need from the people around them, particularly their leaders.
Well, let's tick down some of those things that are similar, if you will, between what we experience when we grieve for a lost loved one and what we're doing and what we're seeing as we grieve for normalcy in the business world.
Yes, let's do that. And I'll invite your listeners to reflect on their own life experiences of a major loss they've had in their life. It could be the loss of a loved one, or it could be a bankruptcy or a divorce or a job loss or something like that. But any major loss, people have probably had this experience, and it might resonate a little more when they can reflect on that own time in their life. The stages, there's five of them that Elizabeth Kubler-Ross proposed. And the first one is denial. That's an adaptive response where we just can't believe what's happening. And right. That's when, you know, they're saying this is being completely overreacted to. It's not going to happen here. And we're actually still seeing evidence of that. We look back when we act that way and then later go, oh, my goodness, what was I thinking? Mm. But, of course, it's a normal experience to go through. And in that stage, if leaders are finding people that are in denial, they may have to do some unpopular things like enforce protocols that people don't want to follow. And that might not be the nice thing to do, but it's the thing leaders have to do to keep people safe.
Interesting. So rather than being sucked into the whole denial issue, try to refocus individuals onto the important points going forward?
Yes. Yeah. So people can yammer all they want about the flu kills more people every year than this does. And, you know, we've heard people manufacture all kinds of research to support their denial. And rather than trying to talk people out of denial with the facts, it's better to just say, you will stay at home and you will maintain 6 feet of personal distance.
Yeah.
And you will do these things and you can think whatever you want.
Right. Yeah, you're not going to change my mind, so this is the rules. Yeah, I get it.
Yes.
Yeah. That does.
Yeah, because we're putting people in jeopardy when in that stage. And it's a very natural stage. We've all been at denial at various aspects of our life. And what we need to do is just keep ourselves on the right path until we get to the other stages.
All right. So denial being the first of Elizabeth Kubler-Ross's 5 points. Number two.
Number two is anger. We're seeing loads and loads of examples of that.
Oh, boy, yes.
Yeah, you know, the blaming, why didn't we get on top of this sooner? Where did this virus come from? Pointing fingers at one another. We see anger manifesting in households as we take out our anger on the people that we live with and we love the most. We're seeing passive-aggressive behavior. It is very common to feel anger. And although leaders don't have to encourage anger, they do need to allow it. Mental health experts say that an important part of the process of healing is to experience your anger. Hmm. And that doesn't mean that you get to start hitting people or having it manifest in that way, but to just acknowledge that we're angry at the situation.
And there's nothing necessarily wrong with that. I think it's when anger spills over to hate speech or to violence of some kind. Because sometimes people get so mentally wrought with whatever anger it is that they don't have an outlet, and they sometimes take it out on other people. Would that be true?
That's exactly right. If we don't figure out how to process it productively, then yeah, we scandal unproductively. And the, you know, as your listeners are reflecting back on periods of their life going through these stages and they remember when they were angry, what they probably remember is the close friend who just allowed their anger and let them get out. Yeah. And the interesting thing about this pandemic that is different from those of us that have gone through these stages of grieving with the passing of a loved one is that there is a shared grief among, it's actually global right
now. Interesting, yes.
So if we can have empathy and compassion when somebody is not at their best and is angry, not to judge them or label them, you know, as long as they're not dealing with absolutely everything in their life with anger, this is just something they're experiencing. They're having a bad day, and let's not judge them that way for the rest of their life.
Our guest is Roe Crosby, the founder, chief executive officer, and president of Tarot International, and we're talking about the five stages of grief and how they resonate in the world of business. Well, let's go to number three, shall we?
Number three is bargaining. We are all in that one and seeing that. That's when we make agreements with ourselves and others. Okay, fine. I'll work from home for 30 days. And in exchange for that, I expect everything is going to go back to normal. So bargaining can be a very productive stage. This is where we start wrestling with the trade-offs. Like, for example, how many people are we willing to let perish in exchange for a robust economy?
Oh.
Or what are healthy people going to have to do to keep vulnerable people and healthcare workers safe? So this is when we wrestle with all the what-ifs and the if-onlys, and guilt is a companion to this stage as well. So it's, you know, we're not to acceptance here, but we're wrestling with some pretty important questions. For leaders, when people are going through this, that one of the big challenges is that the leader can't deliver the other side of the bargain.
Right.
So when everybody says, you know, okay, I'll stay home for 2 weeks, I'll shelter in place, and then I want everything to go back to normal. Well, the leader can't make everything go back to normal. And good grief, Harvard came out with a study a week ago that said this social distancing may go on through 2022.
Yes.
So it's very easy to see why people slip into other stages of grieving when they start hearing that, when they bargained in their mind that this would be a 2 week or a 1 month deal.
It is stunning when you start to step back and you take a look at what the new normal very well may be. All right.
Yes.
Number four in our list.
Number four is depression. And this isn't the type of clinical depression that is a sign of mental illness. This is the type of depression and sadness we experience when there is a time of great loss. It's uncomfortable for people to be around people that are sad, so they try to talk them out of their sadness. We see people trying to talk loved ones out of that when they've lost someone. We see people, this is what leaders are trying to do. They're trying to cheer people up, and they're trying to motivate them. And it would be unusual for someone who has lost control, who is worried about health and safety for themselves and others, who is worried about a recession that we're now on top of, that's worried about this global pandemic, to not feel a little depressed. That's kind of a normal human experience. And that's something that we're all sharing. So, again, it's not a case of trying to talk people out of it. It's to allow the space and that people can admit they're having a hard time with this. And that's okay.
You know, this brings to mind something else. We have seen over the course of time the very best in people and sometimes the very worst in people. And it all depends, I think, on how we process each one of these things that you're talking about. And
yeah,
I would suspect it's the leader, the management, the person that is in charge, if they recognize these issues and then deal with them appropriately And everybody has a different level of appropriateness. Would that be accurate?
Oh, it absolutely is. So much of this is informed by life experiences. And as I mentioned in that LinkedIn video, and I talk about when I'm talking about this, I began my training to lead in 2016 when my husband passed away unexpectedly. So these stages are a little more familiar to me. But if your first big experience with grief and loss is this pandemic, you're going to handle it differently than if you've actually seen these stages unfold in the past.
Sure.
Yeah. For leaders, it's a little bit challenging because they need to lead, obviously, in their organizations during this, and they're also human beings, so they're experiencing them themselves. So I really encourage leaders to find a peer group. Find a group of people that aren't looking to you for leadership, but that you can relate with and have some common ground so that you've got an outlet to process your own emotions so that your behavior at work is more productive.
It makes total sense. And that's also an accountability partnership, if you will, so that people can share some of these issues that they're feeling. What is the fifth area?
The fifth stage is acceptance.
Right.
And that's where the power lies. That's where we hope everybody rushes to quickly. And so as a result, leaders try to talk people into accepting reality as it is. And that's just not the way this works. So we can't force people into acceptance. But we can watch for glimmers of it. And in meetings, in day-to-day tasks, you can every once in a while see when somebody is starting to show some creativity, is starting to realize they don't like this situation, but they are going to figure out how to live with it, and that they're starting to look forward to a different future. And if we can grab onto those moments when we see that creativity and innovation, that's where the power is. And because they're not linear stages, just because you reach acceptance does not mean you don't slide back into anger
sure.
on some days. But if we can start to see the future a little more clearly and innovate and create, that's exactly the kind of thing we started this conversation about. And what I'm so proud of my team and many of the clients we serve is figuring out how do we pivot so that we come out of this as strong as we possibly can.
All of this, Ro Crosby is our guest, all of this, Ro, really does take effort and work on the part of whomever is leading whatever organization it is. And now is such a necessary time, I would think, to stay focused not only on what the business does, but the people who make the business work. And those would be the folks who are on the front lines, whether they are essential or non-essential, or whether they are working from home or working on the front lines. How critically important. Good stuff.
That's so well said, Michael. This isn't an either-or proposition. We don't just do what's right financially for the business. It's possible to do that and also care about the people.
Yeah.
It's possible to even downsize the workforce and do it compassionately.
Sure it is. Sure it is.
Some people are not going to be able to keep their staff on full time. That's just the way it is. But you see different leaders handling that downsizing in different ways.
Yeah, exactly. And again, we come back to that. We've seen the best and we've seen the worst. And some are sort of stuck in the middle looking for ways to deal with this. And you, Ro Crosby, have just given five examples on how business can perhaps get to become the best that we've seen. Thank you so much.
Always a pleasure, Michael. Thanks for the invitation to be on your show again.
Once again, that was Ro Crosby, the CEO, founder, and president of Tarot International. An interesting conversation about grief and loss and leadership. We will have links to Tarot International up on our radio blog. Well, that about wraps it up for another broadcast day for all of us associated with the Business News Hour. Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator, sales and marketing, Aaron Libby. The voice of the Business News Hour is Hunter Pease, and the music you're hearing right now was arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett from Jam Good Productions. For all those folks and for Ro Crosby, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a great day. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.